You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Today, church, we continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And so I want to invite you once again to tune your ear to the original preacher of the sermon, Jesus himself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 25 to 34. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, we this morning acknowledge your presence among us by your Holy Spirit. You want to speak to your church. And so we tune our ear to your voice, Jesus, and we ask that you would speak to us. And Lord, my prayer is that as you speak this morning, that you would bring us into an encounter with your Holy Spirit, whereby we learn how to trust you. Jesus, there's a lot going on in our lives these days. I pray that you'd be growing trust in us. A faith that goes beyond words of assent, but penetrate deep into our lives. We pray, Jesus, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you're picking up what Jesus is putting down here. One word appears six times in 10 verses. Did you catch it? Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Verse 25. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? Verse 27. Why do you worry about clothes? Verse 28. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Verse 34. I trust you get a sense of what Jesus is talking about here. Can I make a confession this morning? This is my least favorite section in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that. But it is. I've spoken with three people this week who have told me that this actually is their favorite section in the entire Sermon on the Mount. But it has been my least favorite, or at least it was my least favorite. It was my least favorite, of course, until Jesus gave me a much better understanding of what he is speaking of. It was my least favorite section of the sermon because, quite frankly, these words, they sound trite to me. They sound like an empty cliche that I've heard at various times in my life, a little bit like a Bobby McFerrin song. Don't worry, be happy. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it this week. I know I have a reputation for that kind of thing. Have you ever tried giving this advice to someone who is struggling in life? Or to someone who is depressed? Or to someone whose marriage has just failed? Or to someone who has just learned they have a serious illness? Well, don't do it. Because it's terrible advice. It's an empty cliche. But that is not what Jesus is saying here in this text. You see, do not worry isn't Jesus giving advice. It's Jesus describing a result. Do not worry aren't words of advice spoken into the circumstances of life. Rather, they are what happens when a person has embraced Jesus' gospel and his vision of the kingdom. Do not worry isn't cliche spoken into a moment, but the end result of day after day of learning to trust that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. Jesus isn't so much giving you advice for your life today. He's giving you a vision for your life. He's describing a life that has learned to trust in him. And can I say, when you see that kind of life in action, it's a compelling vision of how to live. It's remarkable to see it at work in the very life of a person. When you see the kind of life that Jesus is describing here in this text in living color, you're left thinking, I want that kind of life. There's no other way to live. And I've seen the kind of life that Jesus is describing in this text in a few people this week. First, there's my friend Dave. We were chatting this week. And the thing about Dave is that he has courageously walked the long road of recovery from a crippling addiction in his life. This month, Dave celebrated his 17th year of sobriety. That's amazing. Way to go, Dave. We're proud of you. Well, just over a year ago, Dave was diagnosed with a serious cancer. And so we were chatting this week, and Dave told me that the thing he needed to learn in order to overcome his addiction, one of the greatest lessons he needed to learn, was to have faith. Faith was the most important thing about getting sober. Having faith in the 12-step program, it was part of it. Having faith in the fact that there were people who went before him through this program and actually succeeded. Having faith in the people around him as his support system. And most of all, having faith in God. That God would give Dave the strength that he needed one day at a time, one moment at a time. And then Dave said this to me. He said, Keith, the better part of my life has been about learning to trust God day by day. And because I've learned to trust him day by day, I'm not worried about what happens in my life with this cancer. Jesus's do not worry is not advice for Dave. Rather, it is God's kingdom come manifest in his life. Because Dave has learned to trust the God who sees him and loves him. and has what he needs. I want that kind of life. It's the only way to live. And the second people I saw this kind of life in this week are my friends Sandy and Brita. And they don't mind me sharing this with you this morning because they are inviting us to pray as a church. They want you to pray for them and what's happened. Sandy is the pastor of Lake Country Alliance Church down the road. And him and I, along with his wife and our two families, we go way back to long before we both moved to the Okanagan. They are our closest family friends. And as some of you know, Brita was in a serious skiing accident just late last week. And she's broken her back in a couple places, and she's unable to feel her legs or move them. And currently, she's in VGH Hospital in Vancouver, and the road ahead is long. It's uncertain. It's hard news. And we can only imagine what Sandy and Brita and their family are going through. We can only imagine. But you know what I haven't had to imagine this week? Is how they are going through what they're going through. Because I've seen it with my own eyes. And in one word, to describe how they are going through what they're going through, it's one word: trust. They are trusting in God. Sandy shared with me that as he was praying earlier this week, he felt the Lord saying something specific to him. That God was saying, Sandy, you know what? You don't need to go through this the way many other people would go through this. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to worry. And that is what both my friend Sandy and my friend Brita have been experienced. They are not afraid. They're not overcome with worry about their future. Yes, there is sadness. Of course there's sadness. Yes, there is grief. Of course there is, but there is not despair. Only faith. Only hope. It's this otherworldly trust in God. And when we asked Sandy how Brita was doing in these days, he said, well, she's facing a serious physical injury, but her spirits have never been stronger. And then yesterday, Gina got an email from Brita, and she ended her email saying this: I love you all, and God is good. Take care of yourselves and be released into the freedom Christ offers each one of us. I want that kind of life. And I know you do. It's the only way to truly live. Jesus's do not worry. It isn't advice to Sandy and Brita. It is God's kingdom manifest in their very lives under the most difficult of circumstances. Because they have learned to trust in God who sees them and provides exactly what they need. There is no other way to live. But here's the thing, church. That kind of life, it doesn't spring into action overnight. It doesn't materialize one day. It's not a switch that we can flip and turn on. The kingdom life that Jesus describes here is tended long before it's called into action. Jesus's do not worry is a result that is born from a past season. You need to sow your trust in God before a harvest of peace is manifest. Do not worry. It's not advice, but a result of what happens when a person has embraced Jesus, his gospel, and his vision of the kingdom. Don't you want that kind of life? I do too. Mark this, church. Every day you are given an opportunity to trust God with your life. Every day is an opportunity to grow that part of your relationship with God. You see, every day we have an opportunity to trust God's provision for that very day. Every day is an opportunity to trust God's word for that very day. Every day is an opportunity to trust in God's promises and his timing. Every day is an opportunity to trust that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. Heal, restore, make new. And every day is an opportunity to trust that you are who God says you are. Loved, forgiven, accepted. Every day is an opportunity to grow your trust in God. Is that not what Jesus is talking about here? The shape that every life takes is a result of what that life has learned to trust in. Let me say that again. The shape that every life takes is the result of what that life has learned to trust in. Because we have a choice about what we trust in each day. We can trust in God's provision, or we can trust in our own efforts. We can trust in God's word, or we can trust in the misguided words of our culture. We can cultivate trust in God's promises and his timing, or we can trust in our own limited perspective. We can cultivate trust in God's sustaining power at work in our life, or we can trust in the bottle or trust in the bank account. You can cultivate trust that you are who God says you are, or you can trust in the voices both inside and outside your head saying, you're not good enough. Every day, we are sowing trust in someone or something. But there is only one worth trusting. And the wise person, they build their life on choosing to trust God day in and day out, in season and out of season. Now, Jesus has something particular in mind when he says the word worry in this text. Now, let me be clear, Jesus isn't speaking about clinical anxiety. Though he is speaking to people who experience anxiety, what does Jesus mean when he says, do not worry? Well, psychologist Dr. Thomas Borkovec of Penn State University, he says that worry isn't the same as anxiety. Put simply, worry happens in your mind, where anxiety, it happens in your body. Worry is the attempt to engage in mental problem solving on an issue whose outcome is uncertain but contains the possibility of negative outcomes. Anxiety, on the other hand, is what happens physiologically in your body when your mind ruminates on worry or is overcome with worry. Now, Jesus isn't giving a treatment for generalized anxiety disorder, but he is saying something about the things that we fix our mind upon over and over again. Now, the word Jesus uses for worry here, it is the same word that Jesus uses to describe Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. Do you remember that story? Jesus arrives at the home of two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha is busy running around preparing things for their honored guest. She's sweeping the house and cooking the meal and serving the food like a whirling dervish. All the while, her sister sat peacefully, quietly, at the feet of Jesus, hanging on every word, listening to him speak. And Martha, she gets angry with her sister for not helping out. And so Jesus turns to her and he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried. You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better." See, Mary's worry, it's centered on this preoccupation with the things that mattered little in comparison. She was all hot and bothered by playing the perfect host, all the while Jesus, the very Son of God, was in the other room speaking words of salvation, words of freedom and healing and joy. "Don't worry about those other things, Martha. You're missing something that you really cannot miss." That's what Jesus is saying when he says, "Don't worry," here in his Sermon on the Mount. Don't be hot and bothered by things that are of lesser importance. Don't be preoccupied with the things that God will surely take care of. But that's what we end up doing, isn't it? We become preoccupied with things of lesser value. Isn't that what Jesus means when he says in verse 31, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?'" He's saying, don't be preoccupied with these things because God is the sustainer of your life. Said another way, Jesus is saying, don't worry about these things because God is invested in your life. God gave you life. And you know what? He's not about to pull out of that bargain now. He's breathed life into you. And so you better believe that he is going to see the project through. He provides what we need. And so Jesus goes on to say, in all of verses 31 to 33, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." Do you see the greater priority that Jesus is pointing us to? That he's pointing his church to? Don't worry about your body. Rather, put your attention toward God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Do not be hot and bothered by the things God will surely provide, but rather chase after God's rule and reign manifest in your own life. Chase after his holiness and his justice unleashed in the world around you. The prophet Habakkuk casts my absolute favorite vision of our Christian calling in his Old Testament book. Habakkuk looks to the future and he declares our Christian calling in one glorious sentence. He describes it this way: "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas." This is your Christian vocation. Your Christian calling in life is to participate with God in filling the earth with his glory, the glory revealed in Jesus Christ. Like the Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of all humanity is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. When you wake up in the morning and you wonder to yourself, what am I going to do today? What will I accomplish today? Habakkuk's word could be the first words in your head. I'm going to fill my world with the knowledge of God's glory, the glory revealed in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? It means getting to live the life of heaven here on the earth. It means everything that Jesus is teaching us in His Sermon on the Mount, because that's what it's about. It means turning the other cheek and going the extra mile and loving our enemy, forgiving them. It means serving God and not serving money. It means sharing the good news of God's kingdom and its King with those who have not heard through your words and your deeds. Jesus is saying here, do not be hot and bothered by the things God will surely provide. Don't waste your life on these things. Instead, seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. Jesus, in effect, is saying, when you wake in the morning, don't worry about filling your stomach. Fill the earth with God's glory. When you wake in the morning, don't worry about covering your body with clothes. Cover the earth with God's love and holiness. In your homes, with your family, in your workplace, with your colleagues, in your school, with your classmates, in our city, with those who struggle the most. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, believe it or not, one person who understood a piece of this concept was Steve Jobs, the famous co-founder of Apple. He knew something about this principle that Jesus is teaching us. Every day, Steve Jobs wore the same clothes. You ever notice that? A black turtleneck, blue jeans, and a pair of New Balance sneakers. He wore the same thing every day. Why? Because he didn't want to waste his finite capacity for making decisions on something as simple as what he was going to wear that day. That decision was already made for him, day in and day out, so he could turn his attention to more important things. And for the Christian, the more important things are the things of God's kingdom. Perhaps when you get up tomorrow morning, you should pay attention to the first thoughts in your mind. Pay attention. And then remember Jesus' words. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying, don't waste your life worrying about the lesser things. Instead, invest your life in the things that will last forever. This is where we struggle, isn't it? We're all a little bit like Martha in some way, shape, or form. We're preoccupied with lesser things. Now, I find it interesting that in this analogy, Jesus, he highlights the body here, doesn't he? He says, don't worry about what you eat and what you drink and what you wear. Don't worry about your living, breathing body. Now, we do need food to live, and we need clothing to function, of course, but it's interesting how preoccupied we can really become in life with this body that we embody. You notice that? We can be preoccupied. I mean, think about it. Think about the last magazine that you read, scrolled online and saw, or in paper, or the last advertisements that you saw. Chances are those things were fixated on the body that you embody, how to clothe it, or feed it, refresh it, revitalize it, indulge it, beautify it, tone it, sculpt it, entertain it, comfort it, pamper it, change it. We spend a great deal of time, attention, and money on our bodies. Now, don't get me wrong. The body that you embody is a sacred gift of God. It's so sacred, in fact, that it is a temple of God's own spirit, a holy dwelling place of God's presence. And we must take care of it because it is a gift entrusted to us by the Father. But we walk the dangerous line of being so engrossed by the material desires for our body that we miss our God-given calling to use that body for what matters most. To use that body, our body, to manifest God's kingdom among us. To embody His character and love wherever this body goes. Perhaps the evil one's greatest weapon that keeps us distracted from living out our Christian calling on a daily basis is the body we embody. What we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear, and what we feel, and what we look like, and what we want to look like. Perhaps the greatest weapon is to keep us fixated on these things so that we lose sight of what our body is really for. To carry the image of God to the world. To bear witness to the King of that kingdom, Jesus, to the world. And Jesus' words break the spell of the evil one. Do not worry about your body. The pagans run after those kinds of things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. Instead, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Church, this is what I want you to take with you this week. The five things I've covered. Jesus's "do not worry" isn't advice. It's a description of what happens when you embrace Jesus, His gospel, and His vision of God's kingdom. And this life that is not controlled by worry, it isn't built overnight. It's cultivated by learning to trust God day in and day out. Third, every day you take a breath is an opportunity to grow your trust in God, His promises, and His provision. Don't get distracted from your Christian vocation by lesser things. Fill the world you inhabit with the knowledge of God's glory by seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, I'm struck by what sometimes sounds like words that can be applied in a moment is actually something that is only built with a lifetime. And so you're pressing upon me, Lord, in this moment, even this sense that the life that we long for is one that we need to build in participation with your Holy Spirit at work in us. There is no shortcut to the life of God. And so, Jesus, we turn to you, we return to you again and again, and we pray over our church that you would be on a daily basis drawing our attention to the places we need to trust you more to build the life you've envisioned for us, to live the calling you have spoken over our lives. And so, Lord, I want to pray in this moment for those who find themselves in a debilitating anxiety. I pray for your rescue, for that's what they need. I pray for your intervention. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bring peace to the storm. You can do it. Lord, I pray for those of us who are learning to walk in trust. We pray, Lord Jesus, that this week you would have our attention, our first thought. Have your way among us and through us. And Lord, I want to pray for my friends, Sandy and Brita. I pray that you would bless them, and keep them, and make your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. Lord, I see their trust, and I'm following them. Have your way in their life. And I pray for my friend Dave. Jesus, I thank you that of all that he's taught me this week, in this, what today is my favorite passage of your scripture. And so, Lord, we want to be your church in every sense of the word. Jesus, we thank you that you have made way for us to be embraced by the Father and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in you that we trust. Lead us. Lead us into a life filled with peace, on mission for your glory in our city. Amen.